I saw Jesus this week on the volleyball court and on the balance beam and in a cheerleading uniform. But we'll get back to that. I want to start with the gospel, because today's gospel is a unique story, of course, about Jesus' life, about his teaching in his hometown of Nazareth and the rejection that occurs there. But it might ring true to anyone who's returned to their childhood home after becoming an adult. It's not easy to go home again. And so as Jesus and his disciples travel throughout Judean villages, teaching about God and healing people, he decides to stop in his hometown. And as is his practice, he speaks in the synagogue, the gathering place for the entire community. And he's a hit, impressing everyone. "We had no idea he was this good," people say. "How did he get so wise all of a sudden? How did he get those abilities?" But then in the next breath, his former neighbors begin cutting him to shreds. "He's just a carpenter, Mary's boy. We've known him since he was a kid. We know his brothers and sisters. Who does he think he is?" A modern translation of the Bible called The Message sums up this story by saying, "They tripped over what little they knew about Jesus and fell sprawling. And they never got any further." After that, Jesus isn't able to do much in Nazareth. He lays hands on a few sick people and heals them, but that's all. He can't get over their stubbornness, so he and his disciples move on. What do you suppose is going on with Jesus' hometown folks? They encounter him, and even though he is doing something completely new, sharing his wisdom, imparting healing, they fix on the old, that they knew him as a child when he was inferior to them. He's raised by common people, so he's just like them. He was trained to work with his hands, not teach or preach. When it's clear that there is so much more to Jesus than they ever knew, they are disoriented, offended, we hear, and summarily reject him. And that breaks the bond between them. It batters their trust in God and blocks the healing that Jesus is offering them. Why is Jesus' wisdom and power so threatening to these people in his hometown? I wonder if it's because his spiritual growth, which took place away from them, and his widening group of followers highlight their own stagnation and loneliness. Maybe they don't like being narrowly defined either, but perhaps they've come to believe the myth that there is nothing more for them. They can't let Jesus rise above the fixed station from his youth, because then they'd have to consider the idea that maybe with the grace of God, they too can expect more and they can be more than they believe is possible in their present circumstances. It takes a whole community, an entire hometown, to maintain that myth of limitation. But Jesus rattles it with his wisdom and his power. What would it take to look like, to be a different hometown? One where a person is seen as more than their limitations, much more, where they are fully known for their unique gifts and their dignity. It might look like the community of L'Arche. And many of us who were here in Seattle this week saw the power that comes from those communities at the Special Olympics. There are 150 L'Arche communities around the world, and four in the Pacific Northwest. L'Arche is a French word for ark, like Noah's Ark. And just like Noah's Ark, L'Arche is a place where a diverse group of people find safety from life's storms. They are intentional communities of friendship and faith where people with and without intellectual disabilities share their life together. The members with the intellectual disabilities are not the clients or the patients, but friends and teachers and companions. They are the heart of L'Arche. People without disabilities are also friends and companions, as well as students and caregivers and witnesses. They are witnesses to the inherent and sometimes completely underestimated qualities of those with intellectual disabilities, like compassion and courage and wonderment and welcome. If you attended the Special Olympics USA Games this week, you were a witness too, I'm sure. This was the 50th anniversary of the world's largest sports organization for people with intellectual disabilities, and the games featured 14 sports. No matter which event you attended, the perseverance, the hard work, the collegiality, the competitiveness, the grit of the athletes, mixed with the freedom and delight of playing sport, was palpable. I was moved by the young women who struggle with gross motor deficits in their daily life, but who performed on the balance beam in front of packed stands. I remember one gymnast who moved slowly and tentatively through a complicated routine, pausing often to check her position. She fell off the beam three times, and each time immediately pulled herself back up. There was no pause between the fall and the remount. It seemed almost instinctive. Her courage and her persistence were so compelling, it shattered any correlation of power and strength with intellect and ability. You saw this again and again on the volleyball court, in the pool, at the track, on the tennis courts, people of all abilities working together as athletes and coaches and referees and judges and fans. They talked about the fullness and the joy that they experienced with Special Olympics and how it had transformed not only their lives, but their families' lives and their community. Being part of such an inclusive community of people both with and without intellectual disabilities makes them realize what it means to be human. Jean Vanier, the founder of L'Arche, says, "Growth begins when we begin to accept our weaknesses." That's what Paul is telling the Corinthians in the second reading today. Underneath the back and forth about, "I'm boasting, I'm not boasting, I could be boasting, it'd be okay if I boasted," he's actually saying something much deeper. He is talking about a core message of the gospel, that great reversal, where because God's grace is enough, power is made perfect in weakness. Jesus is the paradigm of strength and weakness. His willingness to bear his own helplessness and mortality out of trust in God and love for others is the source of the eternal, liberating, life-giving Spirit of Christ. And Paul knows it. He's experienced it in his own life, and so he says, "I will gladly tell of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me." This is also what Jesus is telling his followers to embrace in the second part of the gospel, as he sends them out two by two to proclaim God's love and to carry on the mission of healing. "Don't take anything with you. No money, no food, no extra clothes," he says. you will be needy and vulnerable. By knowing your own weakness, you will be free from the illusion that any power that you have is self-created. Out of your weakness, you will show how God is working in you and in this broken world. And that is good news. I saw Jesus this week on the volleyball court and on the balance beam and in a cheerleading uniform. And that same power of Christ dwells in each of us, empowering us, all of us, to be that different kind of hometown, where each person is known for their unique gifts and not their limitations, and where each of us knows the grace of God, not despite our weaknesses, but because of them. Amen.